It's WMUC Digital, College Park. You are now listening to Mukti. Quick PSA before I get into it.
What does your breakfast look like? Are you grabbing a muffin, bagel, or cereal as you rush off to class? Did you know that a sugary or carb-based breakfast can send your body into a blood sugar roller coaster that will leave you hungrier and craving more throughout the day? A protein-rich breakfast will keep you fuller for longer and help control your hunger. This will also help improve your focus and get you closer to that A. Some good sources of protein are eggs, meats, Greek yogurt, or nuts. Don't want to give up on those delicious carbs just yet? Try adding those eggs and bacon to your morning bagel and keep note of how that added protein makes you feel. Charge up that breakfast and be a healthier Turk.
I'm playing that PSA literally after I ate cinnamon rolls for breakfast. So that's awkward. What can I say? I was home and my mom made cinnamon rolls. And I don't regret it. I can get my protein in another meal of the day. Now, I hope it actually came through because the speakers were not picking it up. But I did attempt to play a PSA for the WMUC's sake. If it didn't come through, my apologies. Today's episode is the last episode I'll be doing of Mukti before I graduate. Never again will this show grace the airwaves at WMUC. And to finish this off, I am going to be doing a special episode. This is kind of, I know I said that the Chicha episode is what inspired me to make this show, but I kind of lied there. It really was Tuareg Rock, also known as Desert Blues, which is a popular genre of music around the world that comes from the Tuareg people, who are an ethnic group from the Sahara region and Sahel region of Africa. They live throughout southern Algeria and Libya, Mali, Niger, as well as Nigeria and Burkina Faso to some degree. And they are a traditionally nomadic and pastoral group that form part of a larger indigenous group called Amazigh. I think I'm mispronouncing that, but it is a word that actually means free people. And this kind of idea of freedom is very important to Tuareg peoples. As a nomadic group, they have a traditionally free lifestyle away from national borders, and then colonial borders imposed by the French and other European colonizers, which ultimately resulted in now the independent nations of Mali and Niger and the other kind of countries that Tuareg people live in, to kind of impede their way of life. And other invasions, like historical invasions, Phoenicians, Romans, Arabs, and then the current kind of post-colonial situation has kind of induced them to move to different areas, refugee camps, adopt different language, a different religion. Now a lot of Tuareg people are Muslim, and abandon indigenous forms of governance and ways of life. And the Tuareg people have had a series of uprisings against, starting with colonial governments, so resistance against the French, such as in 1910, revolts kind of spearheaded by Tuareg people in Mali and Niger were key to threatening French occupation and ultimately resulting in the independent governments. And then another really cool thing about the Tuareg is they have a very, very rich musical tradition. A plethora of different instruments, such as the imsad, which is a one-string violin traditionally played by women. And a lot of the instruments and music styles are kind of stratified by class or gender. So certain classes kind of play this style, whereas others play different. There's different drum type of instruments, and guitar has, it was, I guess, a later introduction, but has developed a very kind of rich cultural tradition with guitar and certain styles of playing it. And it's more associated with men, but there will be a female band and artist that I'll highlight that does play a certain type of guitar music. So it has a very central role, not just in entertainment, but there's even, and I actually have this written later in the episode, but there's an ancient tradition known as Takubelt or Temakanit, which is kind of like a gathering, or even the source says a congress in the desert, where tribes come together to discuss problems and resolve conflicts and then play music throughout it. So there's a role of music in governance, and like a deep kind of political association that the Tarek people have with music, which kind of plays into the current situation of the genre, where so many of the lyrics, bands, people, artists are politicized and get involved with these rebellions and share kind of social and political commentary. So it's not something new. It's ingrained in the music tradition that Tarek peoples have. So yeah, starting kind of with this resistance against colonial powers, I want to play, I forgot I was going to play a song before I started talking. Okay, well, I'll circle back with TNR01, but I'm going to play O France by Mdou Mokhtor and Ilana by the same band.
We'll be right back.
You just heard Ilana by Mdou Mokhtar and Au France by the same band. Now, this band is who I was first exposed to in this genre. They're relatively newer compared to some of the others that I'll play, and have a really interesting origin story. So, some of their members, including the front runner, are from Niger. Or I think all of the members, at least most. And he taught himself to play a homemade guitar made out of wood, which is a really similar story to Narawan, which is another really probably the famous band of this genre. And he didn't get a real proper guitar until years later, and he learned in secret. So a lot of these artists have like pretty crazy origin stories and really unique kind of backgrounds as to how they got into this music. And the music was disseminated similar to Tinaruan, which I'll get into, through like local people. It wasn't any type of record label. It was just like songs downloaded on cell phones, in like concerts at people's weddings or different events, where their sound kind of spread through Niger and Mali and other countries in the Sahel and Sahara region. Now, I also characterize this episode as Tuareg rock, but Mdou disagrees with the classification. He said he grew up listening to the Tuareg guitar greats, and it was only in the past few years on tour, as of the Ilana album release, which was, I think, in 2019. So in the 2010s, he only really first began listening to American rock. He said, "I don't know what rock is exactly. I have no idea. I only know how to play in my style." So that's pretty cool, pretty awesome of him. To say that it is a really unique genre and style, which has been compared to rock, has been compared to blues. That comparison to blues does come from the West African influence on both Tuareg music and American blues. So like a similar origin point and influences, which create kind of a similar sound between the two, but it is its own unique genre. So a little more about kind of current political conflicts within Tuareg groups and the countries where Tuareg people live. So Mali is a pretty prominent example of rebellions taking place. The first Tuareg rebellion of Mali took place in 1963, and it is described pretty explicitly in the song Soyant. Oh my gosh, it's like a French title, Soxante Trois. That sounded like Portuguese. It's a Tinaroan song that talks about this rebellion, and the lyrics are as follows: 63 has gone but will return. Those days have left their traces. They murdered the old folk and a child just born. They swapped to the pastures and wiped out the cattle. And then repeat, 63 has gone but will return. And this talks about not only that rebellion and the subsequent kind of violence that took place. That rebellion is also known as the Alpha Gala Rebellion. And the Malian army essentially repressed Tuareg communities after the uprising in the ways described, as well as things like poisoning wells, executions, and forced labor. And at 4 years old, the front runner of Tinaroan, Ibrahim Ag al-Habib, witnessed the execution of his father, who was involved. So you could say that kind of radicalized him and spurred him to action with all that this band kind of has done to promote the liberation and kind of the succession of the Tuareg. So I'm going to play that song for y'all and then explain a bit more about the causes and the reasons for these rebellions, including that first rebellion in So that was a Tinaroan song, which I'm not going to say the title of again. It's on Spintron. I don't speak French. The French titles are even harder for me than any other language. But yes, moving on, that tells the story of the 1963 rebellion in Mali. But rebellions happened in a cyclical pattern in the following decades, which is super interesting. Let me pull up. Okay, I got all the information from an article that I'm trying to find again, because I want to credit where I got all of this kind of rich info. But I'll look for it on the break and let y'all know the title of that. So, anyways, after this 1963 rebellion, there was one in 1990 through 1996, 2006 to 2009, and then 2012 and 2013. And other rebellions happened in Niger, such as the one in 1991 to 97. But yeah, the 90s was a pretty like formative time for Tuareg liberation and succession movements. So the reason behind this are kind of the reasons I mentioned in the beginning, the Tuareg being a nomadic group, colonial borders don't reflect their traditional territory and way of life. In governments like Mali's, there was institutional shortcomings, a failure to implement clauses outlined in peace treaties that reflects the kind of the rights and perspectives of the Tuareg people. And then also this, I found this really interesting. So a lot of why people were radicalized happened because of droughts and scarcity in the 70s. So a lot of young men who came to be known as Ishumar, or like unemployed kind of people, were kind of forced to look for work in other areas. They went to Algeria and they went to Libya. And in Libya especially, they're exposed to revolutionary ideas. And there's also a call by the Libyan ruler, Muammar al-Gaddafi, in 1980. And he essentially wanted to create like an Islamic Legion, which would fight to create a united Muslim state across North Africa. And that kind of aligned with the Tuareg's aspirations, not only as Muslims, but also to have kind of a unified region that didn't split up the Tuareg by these kind of arbitrary colonial borders. And this is not just an issue within the Tuareg groups, but all different ethnic and indigenous groups across Africa have been impacted by these kind of arbitrary colonial borders that draw lines along like resources, kind of allocation, and even like I think it's, I don't know if you've seen the countries like countries like the Gambia being along a river in the middle of Senegal kind of were a outcome of colonial drawings of maps, which didn't align with people's kind of traditional territory and way of life. So it's not just the Tuareg that are kind of impacted by this. So yes, these droughts sent people to Libya. And there's also kind of issues of embezzlement of drought relief money in Mali, it contributed to rebellion. So kind of a convergence of a lot of different factors, just dissatisfaction with how people were treated by these governments, and how it doesn't reflect the traditional way of life. Now, Tinaroan, which is one of the, if not the, kind of Tuareg band of the century, they are a collective of a lot of different musicians, and they've been around for a long, long time, since like the 70s or 80s. So they've kind of shifted members, but the kind of main front runner, Agh al-Habib, was the one who saw his father being executed in the 1963 rebellions. And similar to Mdou Mokhtor, he built his own guitar out of an oil can, a stick, and a bicycle brake wire after seeing like a Western film where a cowboy played a guitar, which is super like awesome. That's very punk of him to do that. And he kind of formed a band where they would play at weddings and other events. And I think the group kind of solidified through Libyan military training and met kind of more people. So as I mentioned, the Libyan ruler at the time put out that call for any Tuareg men to come and get free military training for 9 months. So a lot of them met through there. They recorded music for free for anyone who had a blank cassette tape. And that's kind of how their style of music and their songs spread. The Mali government at the time were arresting people who were found with these cassettes. So it was kind of like disseminated underground, which honestly may have added to the appeal. And they had played an Asuf style of guitar music. And they kind of were the originators, as at least the first people to expose it to the rest of the world, of desert blues. And it is called desert blues, as I explained, because it has kind of a similarity to the Black American blues music, because of that West African influence. And I found this really cool quote. This is actually, so there's another band called Derekoffs, which I was going to play, but I cut for time's sake, which has some of the same members. And one of the members, Bino, said that we talk about exile, we talk about our travels in the desert, we talk about fighting to be free, we talk about children, women, everything in the desert, and political problems. And to me, this kind of tied into that ancient tradition of Tsaku Belt or Temakanit, which is that congress in the desert where people come together to discuss political problems and play music. And now this kind of practice was revived by this very band, and it kind of turned into a festival of the desert, or of like a concert that's internationally renowned for people to come and see these Tuareg musicians play. And this is another really powerful quote about this band. Tinaroan became the spokespeople of a generation which looked on helplessly as their harvest thinned, their animal herds wasted away, and their world slowly crumbled. So coming from this group that has faced so much struggle due to these colonial borders and governments that don't take into account their perspective or their way of life, and then all the environmental problems that kind of contribute to their suffering are really highlighted by this band. In addition, I don't think I even talked about this, but Ilana by Mdou Mokhtor is a really good song that kind of talks about these resource and environmental issues. It's a commentary on uranium exploitation by France in Niger. And the lyrics say, "Our benefits are only dust, and our heritage is taken away by the people of France occupying the valley of our ancestors." So, sorry, a bit of a switch up to a different band. But a lot of these kind of resource allocation issues become ingrained in politics and thus are shared in music, which I think is really interesting to me. So I'll play another song by Tinaroan called Tomast, and yeah, music speaks for itself. Thank you.
رهنيت ورسد ويلتاش كي تساوس كلك تانيت ورسد ويلتاش كي تساوس كلك تانيت وما استنى
that song. I'll just share this quickly so we can get through the rest of the music. But I like the lyrics. A divided people will never reach its goal. It will never cultivate an acai tree with beautiful leaves, or acacia tree. That's a tree that is found like on the West African and like a Sahel region, especially Savannah. It's like that kind of iconic, like wide branched, wide, kind of canopy tree that is just like in the middle of kind of open plains in Savannah. And they kind of end with saying, in a time of revolt, we all rested under the shadow of its trees and drank from its gourds, which were full of water. So I always find it cool when there's like a importance to kind of environmental landmarks or certain kind of species that hold significance to people. As an environmental major, I appreciated that. But yeah, all of their songs really have such powerful political and social themes. Moving on, we're going to listen to Bato by Songoy Blues. So Songoy Blues, they are not a Tuareg band. They're Songoy, which is another ethnic group from Mali, indigenous group. But this song takes a lot of Tuareg influence, and just in general, they use a lot of the same instruments and take inspiration from each other. And this is just a really good track. So I play that and after Al Gamra Layla by Kader Tarhani.
Wabizimilla, we young Yukul Mabizimilla. Bato Shinja, Jamkanka Bizir Makunawar. Wabizimilla, we young Yukul Mabizimilla. Bato Shinja, Jamkanka Bizir Makunawar. Manzumbu kwaye. Uramu tukali kwa iyo wofa kofa koyo bato singa dugu heuka nei bato singa bazamuri shidan kai bato singa bato shinda valer kala woka munyangi na telvaga albaraka albaraka mabenoya albaraka albaraka garazanoya albaraka bazenoya kurbai mai wai nyangai shirgo madan gazai mai wai nyangai shirgo madan
ليلة وكتير تخمامي أبغيت فرق لي لو كتير تخمامي أبغيت نسافر لي لو كتير تخمامي
I wanted to mention that Bato, the song I played just before Algamra Leila, is apparently inspired by the woman who organized celebratory ceremonies, Tuareg ceremonies, which is a staple of Mali culture, but banned in the north. So even though these artists are Songoy, they are extending their appreciation and shared kind of joy around these ceremonies, which have been kind of repressed by Mali government. Additionally, the paper that I wanted to shout out, where I got a lot of information about the cyclical kind of rebellions in Mali, it's called Tuareg Nationalism and Cyclical Patterns of Rebellions, How the Past and Present Explain Each Other by Omar Ba. It was a Sahel research group of University of Florida, a working paper from 2014. So, citing my sources. Next up, I'm going to play Imagradan by Les Files de Ilgahal. So this is a group of female artists and one guy, I think, also plays with them, from a village in Niger of the same name. In Kali, the central front runner, she plays guitar and sings, and this is super interesting. As so often the case with African guitarists, she picked up the skill on her own with little encouragement, according to an Afropop article called Les Filles de Ilgahal, From the Village to the World. So she says it was a close friend of her brother's who came from Libya, so very similar with the other artists, who brought an acoustic guitar, and she would play the guitar when her brother wasn't around, because it's kind of taboo for Tuareg women to play guitar. She started using the Takama rhythm, and then she would play when, like, no one could hear her. Women typically play the Imza, as I mentioned, the Teharland, which is like a lute, and the Tende drum, but not guitar. So it's really unique for her to have picked up this music. And another cool thing, they play the calabash, kind of like drum, which is half submerged in water during their concerts. I thought that was really cool, and it gives it kind of a unique sound. So here's Imagradan by Les Filles de Ilgahal.
Emigrada dule wana starani bili sed do sana tarani bili sed do sane wayidmura silani e wayidmura silani nan nifaqan tadalat Thank you.
Last song I'm going to play to close out this very last episode is called Aitma by Bombino, who's another really prolific artist, along with Desfiles de Ilgahal and all the other ones I've played. But this one is a call to arms delivered in Tamashek, which again is the native language of Tuareg people. And I do want to mention, I think nowadays people are referring to themselves and the group as Keel Tamashek, which is the people that speak Tamashek. So it's a more like reflective term than Tuareg, which is like an Arabic word, or it comes from Arabic. Anyways, Aitma is in Tamashek. It's called to arms. That's saying, let's defend our people because we're the same regardless of our geographical position. He explains that when you look at the situations in each of the five countries in the Sahel, so that's Libya, Algeria, Mauritania, Mali, and parts of Burkina Faso, the Tuareg people are not represented in governments, and only recently did that change in Niger. So luckily, Keel Tamashek have gained more recognition in Niger, but the situation is still pretty dire for others. So I'll end off with this, a good call to action. And a great song. Thank you all for listening all these weeks or just today. Hope you enjoy.